Well, it's World Wrestling Resource Defense Soap sponsored call, weekly conference call. We have Terry Brands. Terry, we're got the Olympic trials coming up this weekend, and I know right now it's been you've been pretty busy. Can you kind of tell wrestling fans what you've been doing today and yesterday, the past few days, getting ready for the trials?
Yeah, we're just getting ready. It's, you know, the top peak has come, and this is the highest peak of the year. Outside of the Olympic Games for the freestyle guys, and you know it's really a qualifier, and it's an all or none type situation. Whereas if you don't win this tournament, you are not going to London, and that could be a problem to somebody who's trying to win a gold medal.
And then today, there was the silver level coaches clinic you were teaching in. You want to talk a little about some of the things you covered today at the silver level clinic for coaches?
I didn't teach on the mat at all. I know Terry Steiner did ankle laces. We did a classroom seminar. Mike Durow handled most of it. And then I spoke for a little while about what we expect out of our student athletes, what we expect out of the people that we recruit and what they get on campus, and even before then, what coaches can do to help their student athletes aspire to become, I guess, what you would call college candidates for college wrestling programs, making sure that they can learn the individual things that make each of the student athletes click, so they're not just putting them into a program that maybe a coach is partial to, but putting them into a program that they think or know is a good fit for the student athlete. For example, you know, knowing whether a kid could handle the grind of every day of a D1 program, knowing whether he's a Harvard type kid, or whether, you know, where he's at with his academics and his aspirations and that type of stuff, and being able to ultimately push him into a situation that's going to be conducive on the mat and off the mat for that guy going forward in the future.
So USA Wrestling has taken an interest in those college transition phases. Obviously, they can't host probably all of them right now from the training center. So this seems like the concern is even making sure they're almost happy, I guess. Was that kind of how you'd say that? Is it the right thing?
Well, what's happiness to people? Happy to a lot of people is running around out in the meadow with flowers around it and skipping and this and that and singing a lullaby. So, you know, if that's your definition of happy, that might not be it. But happy to me is a situation where a kid's in a very very challenging environment for him, where he's sharpening and honing himself with his teammates, and when his mentors are holding him accountable to a standard, and he's ultimately going forward, you know, becoming a better ambassador for living, not just wrestling, but for living his life. Happy is being able to accept and meet the challenge of the practice room every day, whether you feel like it or not. That's when I was happiest, when I was, you know, in those environments of extremely difficult and challenging workouts day in and day out, getting ready to win the Olympics or the Worlds or the Nationals or the state tournament or whatever it was, you know. And just trying to really push that standard on everybody, not just the guys that you think can win state titles and then ultimately go wrestle, you know, in college somewhere. Really making everybody that you come into contact with, everybody that you touch on a daily basis, making them feel themselves and where they're headed. And not feeling good about themselves where you're lying to them, but legitimately taking an interest in their lives and correcting them where they maybe fall short sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, even you've probably had. Yeah, sorry about that. Probably had some kids where you had to, find maybe a different fit where maybe the shelfing was a little bit too much for some of them. Would you say maybe you've had some kids where you've had to kind of help them make transitions in that sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, always. Even your best credentialed wrestlers go through difficult times, so you're helping them adjust. You know, you're helping them to adjust to techniques. You're helping them adjust to their opponents. You're helping them adjust to whatever it is that they need to adjust with. Some guys are challenged from a social aspect, meaning they might have, you know, challenges with the nightlife or the night scene on a college campus, girlfriend problems, parental relationship problems, you know, those type of things that you just never know. Your best kid can come along with those adversities, and you gotta come alongside them. And if you don't know your guys, if you don't know your team, it's difficult to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the Lincoln trial coming up. You had this, was it last night, the unveiling of the statue for Coach Gable? Was that a pretty good turnout for that event?
They did the unveiling yesterday at 4:30, Wednesday at 4:30, and Sally Mason, our university president, was there and did an outstanding job of communicating to the press that was there and the people that were there about the standard of excellence that Gable brings to the sport of wrestling and how proud the university is of him. Gary Barta was there and spoke, you know, very obviously complimentary toward what Coach Gable has done and, you know, how fortunate he is personally to have worked alongside him and, you know, what the statue stands for. And Tom, my brother, spoke about what the statue means to him and that each individual is going to mean something different to each person. But it should be a positive going forward type of thing where you see that statue and whatever it means to you is it's a positive thing. It might mean toughness to me. It might mean overcoming adversity to you. But whatever that is on a personal note. And then Coach Gable got up and spoke and, you know, talked about, you know, his career and, you know, how fortunate he is to, you know, have touched so many people and, you know, the normal pageantry, I guess. Moving on then, today we had the Coaches College, the Silver Coaches College. That will go throughout the weekend. There's also going to be a banquet tomorrow honoring the 1972 and 1984 Olympic teams. And as you know, the 1972 team was the team that had, you know, Gable and the Petersons and, you know, lots of other great, great wrestlers that probably the team that captured the imagination of American wrestling more than any other has. And then the 84 team that won, you know, I think it was 9 or 8 medals, and 7 of them, I think, were gold. So, you know, you have a lot of history there over the weekend. And then tomorrow night also is going to be the Iowa Best High School Wrestlers versus the USA Dream Team. And that's going to be at West High School at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So, you know, it's all good news that way, I guess, if you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah, it's exciting. And Saturday the wrestling starts. A lot of the guys will – that'll be wrestling Saturday and weigh in Friday night. How are the tickets? Are there still tickets available? A lot of people have been asking.
Say what? I'm sorry, excuse me?
Well, are there still tickets available?
Yes, I think they've sold 11,500 or 600. There's 12,800 available. So there should be, you know, a lot of stuff left. And you know what? What they're saying is there's going to be a good walk-up, so we're going to sell the thing out. That's what they're thinking. That's what the people in Coralville, Josh Schomburger, is thinking. And, you know, he's a hustler, so I won't ever dispute him.
Yeah. How is the feeling and the energy in Iowa right now with, you know, being able to host this in Iowa City? What's the energy like? What's it feel like?
It's pretty electric right now, I would say. You know, we have an administration that has backed this thing completely. And, you know, you don't see that on a lot of campuses. And the fact that Gary Barta and President Mason and, you know, Fred Mims and Les Steenleage and Matt Getz, the fact that those guys embraced it and then brought it to the rest of our administration, and then, you know, they all got on board with it, and the Coralville Better Business took it over from there, and it's been magnificent. It's been magnificent. There's no, you know, even Fran McCaffrey, our basketball coach, lost his locker room and his practice facility and is not complaining one bit about it. He loves it. He's all in on it. So, you know, when you have support like that, I don't know how you can beat it. So we're very fortunate here, and you know, it's going to be a fun 3 days again, three more days left of this thing. So
talk a little bit about Olympic trials. It's 100 days out, looks like, from the Olympics. Is that typical for our Olympic trials being, you know, 100 days out, or did they kind of strategically move it up? Seems like it's been later.
It's a little early. You know, again, it's going to be difficult for me to, you know, what do you want to say? I'm not the head coach. I'm not Zeke Jones. So, but he's got his reasons. You know what? He's a smart coach. And he knows what he wants. He knows what he's after. And, you know, the time frame fits for him. And otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it now. It's that simple. That's how I see it. From normal, traditionally, it's maybe a little early. You know, usually we have our trials in June and the Olympics are end of August. Or for me, the trials were the end of June, and then we wrestled the end of September down in Sydney. So it's a little different. But all in all, I think it's a good schedule, and, you know, I'm not going to question, you know, the national coach and what he's proposing.
Yeah, it seems like it must give him more time to prepare and scout opponents. Just kind of, you know, talking about Dennis Hall competing, you're going to coach him in there. I mean, do you remember Randy Lewis made his comeback? What was he, 50 or so when he was training at that Waterloo Northern Plains? I think. And Dennis is, you know,
yeah, but Randy Lewis, that's a little different. For those of us who watch that, it's a little different, I think. I don't think that was a legitimate attempt at trying to make the Olympic team. I think he was more trying to prove a point to himself and maybe some other people there. I don't know that he really thought that he was going to be able to make the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Dennis, and anybody who knows Dennis, knows that he wouldn't be in this thing if he didn't think he could win it. That simple.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to seeing him win, and thanks for your time, Terry, and look forward to the trial.
Well, no problem. I appreciate it, and we appreciate Defense Soap as always. And anytime you got, you know, a team like the 72 team with Wayne Wells and the Peterson brothers and Rick Sanders and Chris Taylor and obviously Gable, and, you know, what they were able to do, you know, they only won 3 gold medals that year, but the Russians won 5, and I think, you know, so it was split up, and we, you know, maybe we didn't beat the Russian team, but that team captured the imagination, and they're celebrating that here in Iowa City. And, you know, they're celebrating the team that Coach Gable coached in 84 that was the most successful freestyle team ever in the way of gold medals. And so, and now you're bringing in the next generation, and it's in Iowa City, Iowa. And from my perspective, I couldn't be more pleased with the way it's going. And I know that the people of Iowa feel the same way, and it certainly our administration does also. So if you don't have a ticket, you know, we're looking for you to come out and get one, and I think you're going to see a remarkable show.
Yeah, well, thanks, Terry, and thanks, University of Iowa, for helping put this together, and we thank Defense Soap and ASICS for sponsoring the call.
Thank you very much.